One of the realities of spring in Michigan is dicey weather. Well, now there's a new way for authorities to let us know if severe weather threatens. It's on your smartphone, the WEA, Wireless Emergency Alerts. Cliff Lampe is back here with us now. He's an associate professor at the U of M School of Information. Hello, Cliff.
Hi, how are you?
Good. And Rich Pullman's with us. He's a warning coordination meteorologist with NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Rich, it seems NOAA and the National Weather Service really have challenges as to when to warn people of possible severe weather, what that actually means, what kind of weather, and then how to get that warning out there in the fastest, most effective way possible. Did I miss anything?
No, I don't think you did. It is a challenge. We're all so mobile, and technology is changing, and our ability to detect storms has changed over the course of the past two decades. So trying to get that information out to the public and to give them the information that they need to act appropriately has always been a challenge. And I think technology is helping us now that we're in 2015 and beyond, but we still need ways to reach everybody to get them that warning information.
And, you know, I just think of this dilemma that you face, knowing when to warn and when not to has to be key, because people are going to tune you out if they think that these weather folks are crying wolf again. And God help you if severe weather hits an area, people suffer any kind of loss and feel they didn't get that advance warning. Cliff, how do the wireless emergency alerts help with this?
Well, increasingly, people are not watching mass media channels, so they're either watching television that's time-delayed or they're watching Netflix or Amazon Prime, so they're not watching live broadcasts as much. They're not, unfortunately, listening to radio as much as they might have in the past, so how do you actually get a hold of people? Most people actually have a cell phone attached to them, and so there's actually a big program that WEA is part of that allows federal government to push certain types of emergency alerts through the cell phone company to your individual cell phones.
And what would these alerts be?
There's three types. One are presidential alerts. Another are imminent disasters or threats. And the third are amber alerts.
And these are not anything we sign up for, right? These just come across on our smartphones.
They just come across on your smartphones. Cell phone providers have voluntarily signed up for this service. It's a partnership with them, Homeland Security, and a few other federal agencies. Not every provider provides this service, and not every phone provides this service.
All right, so it's more the if you've got the smartphone, but if you've got one of the older ones, you're not going to necessarily get that.
Potentially
but
not, right.
Ultimately, I think as people upgrade to this, we'll pretty much all have that.
That's correct.
Rich, how does this work for meteorology? Like, what kind of weather events would trigger one of these WEAs?
Well, it's going to be for the imminent danger warnings. So in southeast Michigan, we're going to be mainly looking at the tornado warning and the flash flood warning. As we modernize our warning information and get more information into the digital stream, we'll probably be able to, in the future, warn for those most significant severe thunderstorms that might be producing winds of 80 miles an hour and or hail that's 2 inches in diameter or larger. A generic severe thunderstorm, if you want to call it generic, is going to have hail up to an inch and severe thunderstorm winds of about 60 miles an hour. So those most dangerous ones in the future could happen. What's great about the WEA is that it's based on where you are, whether you get alerted or not. So if you happen to be traveling in Florida and a hurricane warning is issued, it does trigger for that. If you're in California and there's a tsunami warning, it will alert for that. And if you're in Phoenix with a dust storm warning, it will trigger for those warnings as well. So those are the basic weather warnings. For the tornado warning for southeast Michigan, we issue the warnings not on a county-by-county basis, but we actually issue the warnings based on the storm's location and where that storm's projected path is located. So we might just be issuing for the south half of a particular county. The WEA will send that broadcast message based on where the cell tower is in that box that we draw for the warning. So if you happen to be in the north part of the county, you will not be alerted for that alert because you are not in the tornado warning.
So it's very targeted, and it prevents unnecessary alerts that are going to make people just go, oh, it's that again, and tune it out.
Yeah, specifically for the weather warnings. Yeah, if you get that alert, you know you're in the warning, and it's great because that warning area that you're worried about is just your own personal space, whether you're driving in the car down I-75. You will get the alert if you are in that warning box, and if you're not, you won't get the alert on your phone.
Cliff, how quickly can all this happen?
very quickly, as soon as a recognized government agency alerts the telephone companies, they can get the message out to their cell phone towers.
All right. Now, I recall hearing an odd tone going off on my iPhone somewhere around 5 in the morning just late last month. And I was awake enough to wonder, what is that? But not awake enough to want to look at it and see what it was. And it turns out it was an Amber Alert for a child from Flint. And happily, she turned up safe and sound later that day. But what I noted is on Facebook, there was a surprising amount of grumbling. And I'm wondering, Cliff, is this because this thing, in this case the Amber Alert, kind of forced its way onto people's smartphones unbidden and unasked for? Do you think that got hackles up?
That's a lot of the concern about this program, is that when you have Amber Alerts and they go off at an inconvenient time in the morning, it's going to cause people to seek out ways to block these kinds of alerts and then prevent them from getting shelter-in-place messages or other important types of things. Yeah. So it's a balancing act that the government agencies have to maintain for when and how they alert people. The Amber Alerts are a little bit tougher than the weather alerts in some ways because you don't know necessarily which geographic area to target as specifically as NOAA does for a weather event.
And people can opt out.
You can. The telephone companies don't like to advertise it, but there is a way to go in and opt out, yes.
Except for the presidential warnings.
except for the presidential yeah. warnings that you cannot opt out of.
And it is going to depend on your provider and your phone on how much you can opt out, what your settings you have available. I mean, some of them, it's kind of an all or nothing except for the presidential, but you do have some programmability, if you will, with your phone.
What do you think could be next down the road in getting emergency information to the public very quickly and very efficiently?
I think this will be in place for quite a while. I don't think there's a technology that's going to replace this anytime soon. I mean, you could imagine a future with smartwatches or other things like that. But I do think that pushing towards mobile devices makes a lot of sense, both for what Ursula was saying about, you know, it's targeted to the area where you happen to be at the time, but also because of the geographic precision that the cell phone tower arrangement really allows you. So I think this has got some staying power as a tool.
And Rich, just looking ahead for tornado season, what's the span? When does it start and how long does it last?
Well, here in Michigan, our tornado season's pretty much May, June, and July is the peak. Although you can expect the threat of tornadoes, if we get the right atmospheric conditions, to go anywhere from April 1st into the fall. And as far as, you know, a forecast into the severe weather season, it's hard to make a forecast on a severe thunderstorm that may only be 5 to 25 miles in diameter. And it really only takes one event at your location for it to be a bad severe weather season. So we try to stay out of the prediction business for a climate forecast for the severe weather season for the summer. It could be very quiet and just have one tornado outbreak, and that's going to make for a bad year, even though our statistics say it was a below-average year.
Good point. NOAA meteorologist Rich Pullman and University of Michigan Information Professor Cliff Lampe, and thank you for enlightening us when we hear that unusual chime of the phone. Don't ignore it. Check it out. And for heaven's sakes, no getting on Facebook crabbing because there was an Amber Alert. I think we could all be a little better than that. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.